Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. If you want to join us September 6th at Nerdmelt in Los Angeles, we're going to be doing the Nerdist Podcast live with the cast of The Guild. I think we might be screening some episodes too, so you can get tickets for that at nerdmeltla.com. Make sure and watch our Nerdist pilot, which is airing on BBC America September 24th with special guest Craig Ferguson and, well, it already leaked out all over the internet, so Matt Smith is the other guest. Sorry to spring it on you now. I tried to make it a surprise, but I saw it on like 10 different places online already. So you were going to find out sooner or later. But now you get to be excited about seeing Matt Smith on the Nerdist television show September 24th at 10, 9 Central. The Nerdist Podcast Live is going to be touring around the United States a bit this fall, so stay tuned in the coming weeks for dates. Matt, Jonah, and I will all be coming to your city to say things at you in a public setting and then turn it into probably a hostful podcast. So look for dates on that soon. And if you want, you could like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdist. We'd like to thank, as a returning sponsor, GoToMeeting. Obviously, it's a teleconferencing software, but it's so much more than that because it makes everything super, super, super easy for the user. With GoToMeeting, you can start your first meeting in seconds. Everyone can join your meeting in seconds. There's no technical crap to deal with. You're not going to waste any time getting everything started. It's just going to set up for you easily, smoothly. You look like you actually know what you're doing, which is awesome. You'll reduce meeting-related expenses. You'll reduce overhead in preparing meeting materials. Voice over IP is included. GoToMeeting is brought to you by Citrix. They're a fantastic company, and they've been doing this for a long time and won just about every award you can imagine for this kind of thing. So sign up today for a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Have all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click try it free, and enter the promo code Nerdist. Now, this episode, we normally would do a hostful episode here this week. I've been traveling, but this is a great, great, great episode. We had Aisha Tyler on, and Aisha and I have sort of tangentially been aware of each other for a long time, but never really hung out, and she was a phenomenal guest, phenomenal guest. She has a great podcast that she just started called Girl on Guy, and you should check that out. We had so much fun, we sort of lost track of time, and our recording device dropped out, so I had Matt Myra edit in just a little bit of a TARDIS sound as we jump forward in time to wrap up the podcast at the end. So when you hear that sound effect, that's what happened. So here we go, the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 116, with the delightful Aisha Tyler.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Different stuff works.
Yeah, we're still recording onto CD though.
That's amazing. What do you do? And then what do? You take the CD home with you and then rip it to your computer so you can edit?
You send it.
I take the CD home, rip it from my roommate's computer because my CD drive is gone.
Matthew is a Johnny Mnemonic type character, so we insert the
back of his neck.
Yes, yeah. He has an optical drive in his neck.
Jackson.
We're actually recording now because I don't start.
I understand things. Completely. I've listened to your show. I know how shoddy. Your production value.
Exactly.
I know how you get down.
That is exactly.
This microphone is the limpest. Honestly, I can make 1,000 limp dick jokes right now. I cannot get it to do anything I want. Just like sex. Why? Yeah,
just stroke it.
There we go.
All right. Yeah, there we go.
Just put it in your mouth.
This isn't supposed to be
weird. I would teabag
weird.
This microphone if it would actually stay erect. Come on. Why?
Come on, you guys.
Look at it. Let's,
okay, actually, that's not bad.
Okay, all right,
that's not bad.
You know what? Like in life, I'm going to settle.
You're
going to
settle.
This is not quite full.
Why can't more women be like you and just settle?
Well, just here come the emails.
Up. It'll be over
soon. Jonah, you prick.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Okay. It's nice to motivate people to actually write a letter nowadays. Most people don't even bother.
That's all I try to do on here. I try to be sexist, racist, homophobic. Nothing works.
Nothing works anymore.
Homosexual racist.
Yeah.
Mush those together.
Aisha Tyler, it's very fun to have you on. We
audio
excited.
Podcast.
Oh, I was in my house. I was making shapes and I was cheering, but it was inside. Yeah, I'm excited.
For many years, our careers have sort of crossed.
It's surreal.
But we've never, we met one time. You were hosting a series of stand-up shows for TBS, I think, at Aspen.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
In like maybe 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And hey, it's Michael Yeoh. Hey, Michael Yeoh. Do you need to come in? Come in. Come in, Michael. We're very loose.
You're very loose.
Yeah, almost to the point of it not being a real show.
Okay. Exactly. We're all just about to take a nap. Just,
no, please.
Just replace the word almost.
Michael Yo just walked into his studio.
I go further than you were.
Further than I was, and it will fall back towards my face.
Yeah. Are we in your way?
You. That's perfect. No,
okay, we record in here from time to time.
I needed a man's touch, or maybe someone.
Do you know Aisha?
Yes.
Hi. How are you? Nice to meet you. How's it going?
Good.
So yeah, we were in Aspen together.
Yes, and that was like in 2005, and you were hosting the stand-up special, and I performed on that special.
I'm sure that you were hilarious. I remember everybody having a great set.
It was a good. And Aspen was a very, just for people who don't know, there was the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival.
Like, it's a person, I swear. I'm so sad about it being gone.
Here's the only thing about Aspen in the mid '90s was a huge deal.
Big deal. Everybody got a deal.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
It was a period of time where. I remember that one special one year where it was like Dave Attell, Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Clark was on there.
Yeah. Maybe.
They're so similar.
Maybe Mitch Hedberg. Hedberg might have been on that one.
Maybe he was. I can never remember when Hedberg died.
But it was huge. HBO did specials around it.
Everybody who came out of it got something massive. Yeah.
And then. Each year, they would scale it back a little bit until...
And it wasn't even that well produced that year. Like, it was a shitty production value and, like, some fake snow thrown in the corner.
Yeah. Aspen was such a weird... Like, as a comic, it was a very, like, an ego thing. Like, I'm going to go do Aspen.
Yeah.
And you'd go there, and Aspen is a weird collection of, like, there's...
Rich white people,
mm-hmm. and then the people who work for them.
Yes.
And so there's
moderately less rich white people.
There are so many unnecessary,
like 21-year-old kids that are making like $18 an hour.
This weird mountain town in Colorado has more fucking art galleries
per capita. Who can buy it? Who can buy any of that shit? Owl on top of a pineapple.
Yeah, how many copper horses do I need that are actual size?
Seven.
You're right. Seven's the number.
I'm glad you did the math on that. Made me feel better.
Yeah. So then they stopped doing Aspen like maybe four years ago, and they moved it to Vegas. But yeah.
Well, TBS took it over, right?
TBS took it over. You knew it was good. I mean, come on. That's just like watching, you know, your favorite movie, like watching The Hangover while the curse is bleeped out. Like, that was what you knew was going to happen to a comedy
festival.
They
know funny.
The characters, that's a different network.
That's USA.
I can't get all my basic cable shit straight.
There's so much of it now.
So many. Do you remember, like, there was something about Aspen that I loved that even Montreal doesn't have, which is that it was a million comics in a tiny place, and you saw everybody all day long.
You walked
a block and you ran into like 30 people.
I was just in Montreal, and what we were saying was one of the main things that's fun about Montreal is just assembling in the Hyatt Hotel bar at 1 o'clock in the morning and staying up till 4 just talking to people that you never get to see.
But Aspen was even a little bit more distilled because there were only like 4 or 5 venues. Nothing was more than a block or two away from each other. So like I've done Montreal twice, and I always feel like you see the bars where you see guys, but you can do all your shows and only ever see the guys on your shows. Never see your friends. Yeah. You're all working at the same time. And I always feel like Aspen, everything kind of fell apart around 10 o'clock.
You can't get out of Aspen.
I loved it. I loved it. You're just trapped there. It was just Malkovich. Yeah. I was so... That year that you did that show... Two of my best friends met me there. One's a comic and one's not. Two guys. I landed. We started drinking. Like, I walked in and my friend like hit me in the face with a 6-pack. Because they're loving and they don't treat me like a girl at all. And we started drinking, and then we went to dinner. We weren't drinking that much, but it was just like the continual beering, the beering all day long. And then we went to dinner and beered at dinner.
Yep.
And the altitude... It was like living in a barometric chamber. Like, I was so, I've never been that hungover. Like, the next day, like, every, like, light and, like, rotation of my eyeballs and the beating of my heart, everything hurt all day long.
You gotta get on the fucking slopes.
Right? And then I was like, you should have drank more water. I was like, bitch, I wasn't thinking about practicality. Beer is liquid.
I should be drinking more water at sea level.
Exactly. I should be
from
not
the
here.
Sea.
And then I went snowboarding, and every time I fell, I was like, ugh.
Oh, you get
feel
a little
like,
sick.
Like mini puke. Yeah,
but you know, it was fun.
It was a little mini puke.
You spit in the snow and you keep going. You bury it.
Don't be a pussy.
But what was so great about Aspen is like you walk out of the hotel and there's a chairlift right there.
Oh, it's so great.
And it was such a great, it was so much fun. I'm really bummed that they don't.
I miss it. I mean, I don't even think it meant anything in the end. It just stopped being like, it stopped serving its function as a business endeavor for HBO. Stopped meaning anything. It was just this like cash cow. They drop money in the snow.
You always think you're going to fucking die landing at the Aspen Airport because the runway's short. So you just, they sort of corkscrewed down.
And it's got that kind of thing where the plane's like up 10 feet, down 10 feet. Yeah. Well, let's see what we're not really aiming straight. We're just going to kind of like tap it in and see what happens.
Are we going to make it? Well, we'll make it. Sure.
There's so many rich people on this
plane. We'll get on the ground. We know that.
Yeah,
get on the ground.
Away,
just
one way.
Down, big bopper, the whole way down. So scared.
So,
Chantilly Lace.
Aisha, you're back in the E building.
I literally am going through some PTSD symptoms right now. I pulled the sound of your tires on that squeaky fucking parking lot.
Yes.
Like, oh, God.
The smell of tar just like seeping through the walls.
And then I just heard like bullets in the background and screaming. You know, it's just Ho Chi Minh City all over again. I really do. I have like some submerged trauma that I have not worked through at all.
Where did
black people don't go to therapy.
They don't?
Why pay an old white guy to talk when you could buy pot?
I guess that's true.
Come on. Let's be practical.
White people just want to talk about their problems.
I could lay on my buddy's couch and eat chips. I would have a much better time than laying on a stranger's couch.
All a therapist is going to do is just kick stuff back at you anyway.
If I knew how I felt about it, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Exactly.
Right? Let's get that established.
And your therapist is not going to play Xbox with you.
Seriously. And I think I've gotten more therapeutic value out of shooting my friends in the head repeatedly and then cackling into their mouth. Like it's that's why I don't do XBL that much, because I don't like laughing at strangers. I want to laugh at you into your face.
Right.
It's so much more fun, right? To go when you're like right next to me on the couch. So not so much live for me, but Xbox is therapeutic.
Where did you start? Where did you start your career?
I started Poor Black Child. let's get that clam out of the way.
Steve Martin.
He's awesome.
You ever met Steve Martin?
Oh God, have I? No. I read his book. I feel like I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I Board Setting Up. Amazing book.
Yeah. Also good to just listen to the audio version of it as well.
Oh, is it him?
It's him.
He reads it.
And it's like
it's so funny because I listen to so many podcasts, but somehow I think audiobooks are for old ladies. But now that you said that you listen to it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, it's great.
And he plays awesome. The banjo in between.
All the in-between chapters are a little banjo.
Oh, that's good.
And he retells a lot of his old bits, and so he essentially is redoing his old bits.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I'm getting
really
it. Nice.
You have to. It's really good.
Don't get the David Cross book on audio tape because all he does is make fun of you for buying the audio.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's like so many times he's like, in this part of the book, there's a picture, but what do you fucking care? Because you're listening to it, you don't want to read with your fucking eyes.
I just started recording the audio version of my book yesterday.
Ooh, oh, really?
Do you feel like you need to make some different choices now?
No, actually, I just had to, you know, I just have to change stuff where I say, if you're reading this far, if you're listening this far.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm really good
on
the fly.
There was
a head edit. You're making all your edits in your head.
He did do a really cool thing though, where it's like there was like a list. He was like making fun of indie movies with like characters with weird personality quirks, and so he just had the band La Savi Fav come in and then just make a song based off of the list of things he had.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that's really neat. And you know, John Benjamin shows up every once in a while.
Randomly. Yeah. He's doing it over several days. And in those days, John shows up at least three times walking by.
Yeah, yeah.
John has nothing to do. Nothing to do. He's got 5 TV shows and still has free time to fucking show up on somebody's book.
Seriously.
Yeah, he has so many shows. He's so greedy.
Fuck John Benjamin. Okay, so where did you start?
I started in San Francisco.
Great city.
18 fucking years ago. I've been doing stand-up so long.
What rooms did you start in?
I started at the Holy City Zoo, which is closed now. It was a dump.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that now because those people don't exist anymore. I mean, they may still be alive, but
that was like the room,
faded
right?
Out of my, yeah,
they're
I mean,
alive.
They
certainly
like
can't afford an iPod to listen to this.
And if they can, they can't afford a plane ticket to get to LA to confront me in person. It was that was the only place. Well, there was also a place called the Bitter End, the other cafe.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they did like a lot of improv and sketch and stuff like that, but they didn't do a lot of stand-up. But
was the Purple Onion?
Purple Onion was there, but Purple Onion's not a comedy room. Like, they, you know, they mostly did, like, cabaret. I don't have any other skill but using my mouth. I can't play anything. I can write a song, but I couldn't execute it.
Okay.
So, but you paid to get on stage, and you paid, like, $2 for 3 minutes.
Wow.
It's a really invested in developing the art form further. and you also, it was first come, first serve, which I didn't realize. So I got there like last or like second to last. So I went up at like 1:57 and it was a bartender and my husband and I like a hobo. I swear there was like a homeless guy. It was like, It's warm in here.
You were married?
He probably just went on stage.
I married my college boyfriend. I've been married for...
And you're still married?
I'm still married. So same guy.
Holy shit!
Yeah. I mean, I've done some upgrades and stuff, but it's pretty much the same guy. His search function's better now.
That's fucking amazing.
It's crazy, right? It doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I think that's fantastic.
He's great. He's awesome. He was there. I mean, you know, I've known him since I was a kid. We met in college, and he was at my very first stand-up show, and... He's come to many others since then. And now
he'll be at your last.
He will be at my last, which I'm going to do from my casket. Bitches!
3 minutes.
Yes, play this when I'm done. It's like an hour and 45. I'm going to fucking pull a Dave Chappelle and just record like 9 hours of stand-up.
Here's how you have to die. You have to look up and you go, oh, I see the light, so I'm just going to close with this.
and then you just expire.
What am I going to say to you guys before I go? What else is going on? What else is going on? Yeah, nothing.
I apparently. See the light, okay? I see it.
I see it. And just nod at it. I got it. I'm good. This is a long one. I started dirty there for like 4 years. And then, you know how you are when you're 4 years old in comedy. I'm fucking hilarious. Time to move to LA.
Yeah.
You know, and moved here and, had like a day job that where I like slowly lost all will to live and just laying it up and phoning it in until they finally were like, you don't really want to work here anymore, do you? I was like, what is it? The poop on the counter and the
anymore? I never wanted to work
exactly, and no clue. So like for the last 3 months of my job, I worked out of my house on what now looked to me to be like the Mac version of like a Tandy. You know what I mean? Like Commodore 64 is like the shittiest computer. I had dial up. And I was building a website and I would have to like build a little bit of it and then send it into work. And it would take hours, during which I would watch Nickelodeon during the day. I've watched every episode of Little Bear like 100 times.
Fantastic.
Daytime Nickelodeon.
What were you building? Yeah. What were you building websites on?
OMG. I built the website for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The other ones. The fucking fighting awful kung fu. These guys.
What are those?
Power Rangers. The Power Rangers movie.
You built the website.
I cannot remember what I ate for breakfast this morning, by the way. I have the memory of like a geriatric alcoholic. So
what platform were you? What program were you using?
I had like a consultant. So I was the creative director, and then I had somebody build the site. So like they would build it, and I would look at it, and I would tell them it was ugly. But I mean, back then we didn't really know. I don't know. It's got colors. Yeah.
I'll tell you what's really good for a website is
emphasize the Green Ranger.
A lot of pop-ups, a lot of animated GIFs, a lot of things. Things where things sparkle,
rolling over, and
drippy,
things would change.
HTML.
Yeah, tons of flash, so that every time you load up the site, it takes like 2 minutes.
Right,
for
and like, like you know, there'd be a sound effect. Like, wah, wah,
yeah,
wah.
Building frames. A lot of frames are good.
Frames were huge in the 90s. It's so funny now. Whenever you see, like, whenever you click on something and it says like open frame, you're like, what is there? What is it? Is this? Did I enter a wormhole and go back in time? Why is there still a frame? This vestigial frame still.
It's like looking at a Kangol hat. Like, it's not the fucking 90s.
In like 5 years, this is going to come back, I swear.
The frames are coming
back. Cool J still wears Kangol hats.
Well, he can do that.
Hello, Cool J. He lives in a time warp. His house is like he lives in a refrigerator.
Who was
in a refrigerator? Like Funky Brewster's friend.
He still looks like that. He looks like he's been looking the same way for 25 years.
No, what's always very funny to me is LL Cool J, who became. I enjoy LL Cool J.
Rock the Bells.
But when I was in high school, he had an album. And there was a song he had called The Bristol Hotel, and it was the filthiest song I had heard at the time.
What I love is that the filthiest song you'd heard was an LL Cool J song, because at his filthiest, he was like PG-13, I think.
But this song was all about this super slutty girl that would fuck anyone, and there were all these references like... You'd fuck her, but you didn't know that the guy that went before you had AIDS.
Oh,
and like,
Jesus.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That was his blue period.
You didn't know the guy before you was too short?
Yeah.
So, or Eazy-E.
The Bristol Hotel, here. if you find it. You know, kids, go on your iTunes or your Napsters or whatever.
Your Share Bear. I just learned about Share Bear. I didn't know that. I thought I had my shit together, but my niece was like,
I just learned about it by you saying
right?
that.
I don't know what Share Bear is.
It's impossible to know everything.
Peer to peer. And she's like 12. It's humiliating to have a 12-year-old.
At a point I can't steal music anymore.
I've never stolen music, and I won't steal music, and I don't endorse it, but she's 12. What does she know?
Yeah.
Well, the RIAA should get in there and make an example out of her.
You know, LL Cool J has a line of clothing at, I think, Sears now.
Oh,
and
no.
And he has, like, I was Sears, and then they had, a TV.
Tuskins.
A little TV, like, near his display area of all his clothing line. And it's just, like, it's just him, like, with his kids going, I remember when my mom used to take us to Sears. It was the best part of the day. And I'm like, no, you didn't fucking
no,
do that.
No, you stopped shopping there the second you made a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think he missed a real opportunity to do LL Cool J C Penney. Come on, you guys.
I know. I was looking so hard over the last 60 seconds. Those are some I had nothing.
Those are some LL Cool jeans.
Oh, shit.
LL Cool jeans.
I'm two upped already.
One of the legs is just super short.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, oh my God, that would be an amazing, let's start that trend. It's like one leg is a short, and then the other leg is just the regular
but you
pant
can only,
leg.
Yeah, like,
those are what LL Cool jeans are.
But like if it's the left leg, that you can only get those on the West Coast.
Right.
If it's the right leg, you can
this
only
is,
get those on the
there
East
are rules.
Coast.
This is a terrible wormhole that you're traveling
what?
Down. It's too complex. There's so much thinking.
Now, to the belt loops.
who were some of the people that you, you know.
That I started
yeah,
with?
You started with.
That
yeah.
were in my class? Well, Patton. Greg Barrett, Brian Posehn, Blink of Patch, Dave Anthony, mm-hmm. Ray James. If you guys know Ray James,
yeah. I remember Ray. Yeah,
Ray and I and a comedian named Al Manalo did my first real tour. It was like a college tour in a van. Already, I know you guys. Your interest has peaked, right?
Glamorous. It is.
It was
what
a college,
kind of van?
One that smelled like feet and despair.
That's all vans.
That's all vans.
Yes, it was the worst thing. It made me so tough, though. It was the worst thing. It was a college tour, and it was a game show. So we would go to a college. Yeah, already your face.
Miserable.
Look how your face is just sinking, right? Just sinking down. So,
No.
Every humiliating set you've had feels a little bit better now, doesn't it?
They made us do that, but for Singled Out. Anyway.
But it was a TV show. We were just three fucking chuckleheads.
Okay.
So it was me, a white guy, and a Filipino guy. So already right, the racists right. were like,
I've
hey, come by
one.
Us.
Have I've you heard this? Yeah, I've heard this joke.
This bit. We walk into a bar, and then we all die of humiliation. So we would go to college, and the first part of the show was we'd each do 10 minutes. And then the second part of the show for a half hour was a game show. And the person could spin a wheel, and then whatever it landed on, they would win. It was all money, like cash, if they could sit through a minute in front of us on stage without breaking. So what they would do is they would come to the show, and then they would spend our sets trying not to laugh, which they were all very effective at. They were all professional non-laughers. They would just sit there being stoic for the first 30 minutes while we would suffer. And then the last 30 minutes, you know, we'd do characters and we'd dress up and, you know, just generally sell our souls every week for, you know, I think the shows were like paid like $50 or $75 a show. I mean, it was just abject. And Ray would strip. The thing was, it wasn't that you couldn't laugh. You couldn't break it all. Like, you had to be really, like, completely stoic. So if you broke it all, you lost. And Ray would do, he would strip. I don't know if you've seen Ray James.
I know. Ray wrote on
white
Shipmates.
White as the
P.S.
moon.
He did.
Wow.
He wrote on. He wrote
That's amazing.
On, yeah.
I thought he was in New York at the time because he was at
we
SNL
were doing
for
that
a while.
In New York.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. We're going to talk about our
we'll talk about our
mutual
dating show.
Humiliating
yeah.
dating
we'll
history.
We'll get there.
He would strip and he would like take off his sweat socks and like wrap them around. You know, it was only for guys though. Like wrap around their neck and like give them like a lap dance. And it broke everybody. Until somebody who clearly had some real issues with not coming out of the closet, like jumped up and punched him, like
knocked
him down, and we had to like flee. We had to flee the school like the end of fucking Hocus Pocus, where the wind is coming in and everyone's running and their skirts are floating up.
What?
And it's like and pick up our shit. And
was that
run
the
out.
Kathy and the Jimmy witch movie?
No. That this is like in the 80s, and it was the kid from Eight Is Enough with the curly hair.
Willie Ames.
Three witches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was Witches of Eastwick. Witches of Eastwick.
No, Witches of Eastwick wasn't with Kathy.
Abracadabra.
Oh no, there is the Bette Midler Hocus Pocus movie. There is another movie.
That's the one.
Abracadabra.
But you're Hocus Cadabra.
Hocus Cadabra. No, this was in the '80s, and it was Willie Ames and some other douchebag, and they get magic powers, with which they blow up girls' skirts and
that was Zapped.
Zapped, that's what it's called.
Yeah,
thank you, Zapped. Williams and
Scott
Baio.
Yeah.
There you go. I told you I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Wait, so how do we who? Why did you reference that?
Oh, because at the end of this show, we had to literally like run from the campus.
Okay, yes.
Like with our shit under our arms while people were screaming and throwing things.
Yes, and they were paying homage to Carrie at the end of that movie.
Really?
Not to get too comedy nerdy about it. Yes, so basically you're saying it was a catastrophic scene getting out of this school.
And the only thing, other thing I'll say about this tour, other than that, we fought all the time because Ray at the time was this like really intense libertarian and I'm pretty progressive and Al didn't want to talk about politics at all. So Ray would be like, like, the government's going to tattoo us with barcodes and they're going to fucking eat our souls. And I was like, you're a retard. We need police. There need to be roads. And we just yell at each other all day. And then at the end of the day, Ray'd be like, go tell that girl I want to fuck her. So it was like this terrible, like, you know, an unwilling wing woman. My friend likes you. I think he's mainly clean.
mainly.
Most, I think he washes.
I don't know.
Ray was really dirty at the time, like really blue. And the rule was we couldn't be blue at all. And we were doing Christian schools where they would say, like, you can't talk about dancing, say the word dance, do anything that looks like dancing, can't take the Lord's name in vain.
You were in that small town in Footloose?
Yeah, we were. And I tell you, that place fucking exists, and there are multiple versions of it. And if we did, if we broke the rules, even if I said, like, oh my God, we wouldn't get paid. So we would go to these schools, and you know, they would be furious with Ray because he was tainting their salvation. And then I would use the word, oh my God, and then I would get, like, oh my God, Tourette's, and say it like 50 times. And we would have to sleep in the van. I mean, it was like the worst, worst. Wow. But then towards the end, Ray got so many complaints. Hi, Ray. That they fired him. But we were like in Bisbee, Arizona, I think, or somewhere like equally remote.
Like, that's where ghost towns are, Bisbee.
Yes, that's a beautiful metaforor for this tour. And we didn't know what to do. We couldn't get another comic because the show paid so little, we couldn't even pay someone to fly to where we were. You know, like, we can afford to give you a Coke when you get here. And so Ray... The statute of limitations, I'm sure, is up on this particular fraudulent act. So Ray just changed his name to a different name and started doing the same material in a British accent.
Nice. Oh, that's great.
So there was a guy back then, I think, named Tony Morwood, who was a British comic who, like, lived in San Francisco. And so Ray changed his name to Derek Lestwood. And did the same material for like another month. And of course, when he was English, it was just adorable and piquant and racy. And he didn't get any more complaints after that.
Oh my God. Oh,
wow. He's so cheeky now that he's English. When he was American, he was a dirty, whore fucking. Yeah. You know,
maybe he should have stuck with that. Like, he could have, that would be so crazy to be like a
his
huge.
His accent was terrible too. It was the worst. But like Little Lord Fauntleroy.
That would be awesome if he had stuck with that and that would have been his hook. But it's right? Like,
I don't think he's.
He doesn't seem. Well, somebody came to one of our shows and he said he was from London. And this guy goes, I'm from London. Ray turns purple. What neighborhood are you from? Oh, I'm from. This is Ray. I'm from. I'm from Underhill, Overshire. I'm from Overshire.
The Underhill, Overshire.
And I was in the back laying. I literally had, like, hyperventilating. I was laughing so hard, like, I couldn't do my set because the guy was like quizzing him. He couldn't even make up a good answer.
That's where Larry the Cable Guy came from. He got fired off a college tour. No, I'm kidding.
Oh God.
Do you know that he doesn't talk like that normally at all?
There's footage of him when he was just doing, you know,
regular stand-up.
And then he would do that. Tucked into khakis.
Yeah, like, you know, blazer guy.
But yes, can we just talk about London for a quick second? I don't know when this episode's going to drop, but it'll be relatively soon. And
calm down, guys.
I saw something on CNN where I was like, really, CNN? I was somewhere, it was in a restaurant, so I couldn't hear what they were saying, but it just, the headline said about the London riots. London riots. Could this happen here?
Oh, yeah, that was like, all CNN. That's all they've been talking about.
Today. LA? Liberty City? What do you want? What do you want, CNN?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not that hard to look a little back and see that it has happened here numerous times.
CNN has 7 minutes of news. They're trying to expand it to 24 hours. Yeah. Every day they're just could like, how else here? Could we? Poor what guys. Other orifice does this story have?
Do you mean again?
Talk?
You mean again, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's just do the same story again.
I don't know. I'd say we're a lot lazier of a country than we were, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
I don't think we could sustain riots over time. You know what I mean? We're good starters, but we're not good finishers.
We're too spread out, you know. Like London is like, it's like city streets, and you can kind of like really, you know.
Now people just complain on message boards and Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. And even the more organized crazy people like the teabaggers, I mean, they can only get it up every like few weeks.
So that's the thing about teabaggers though, is like they're not violent. They just barbecue and say irritating dumb things.
Right, so it's like being around. In a parking lot at a Green Bay Packers game.
Tailgating,
exactly.
It's a tailgate party. Oh my God, you guys! That's it. The teabag movement is just a big tailgate party.
You look at it though; they're all just like.
And equally stupid.
But they're all like, their faces are painted, they're wearing funny hats, and they're just grilling outside and saying that Obama's not from the country. Right. But then you see like when like crazy left-wing people like protest, they fucking put dumpsters on fire and then roll it towards police officers. and then like all of us on the left have to be like, well... fuck.
Oh shit. Fuck. Wow.
Please don't do
I
that.
Want a barbecue. Yeah.
Please don't do that.
We should be more barbecue.
I want we should just settle everything.
Excellent grill marks. There's too many vegetarians on our side. Yeah. They're like, are we really going to grill? Carcinogenic. Can't we just do something organic? How about some kombucha? And then we all just lie down and get high and take
everything settled by a throwdown with Bobby Flay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But switching focus back to you, Aisha Tyler. I remember the first time I feel like our paths sort of crossed was
I did Politically Incorrect a bunch, and I know you did a bunch too, but we never did it together.
No, that's true.
But that was a really that was a fun show to do at that time in the 1900s.
In the olden days, and we'd ride there in our wagon. You know, it's too bad because I mean, obviously, real time now, you know, they have comics on, but that was a place where if you're a comedian, I mean, that's literally probably why I got Talk Soup because I really wanted to audition for it, and they're like, no one knows who you are. And I was like, well, I do this TV show like once every three. I mean, I was on that show. I don't even know how many times I did it, but it was like once a month almost. Mm-hmm. I was always on it. And I was like, well, I do this TV show and I'm, you know, somebody knows who my mom watches it. and then somebody there saw me on there and they're like, okay, since you've done this other TV thing, we'll give you a break. We'll give you a break.
So ridiculous that they were like, no one knows who you are. Oh, really? I'm sorry. I'm not a big name like Steve Kometko. Sorry. I don't mean to drag your curve down.
Wow, I forgot about him.
It's an interesting self-awareness they have at the E! Network. So so then they were like, well, we'll let you come in and we'll let you. I think I auditioned like my audition. And then I was like, just let me guest host one show. Like, I don't even want to. Just give me one shitty. Give me Tuesday. Give me the Tuesday. No one's watching on Tuesday. And I did one show. And they got so much positive fan feedback that like literally I got voted into that job.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, which was great. They were like, they were mystified that you got better fan mail than Jennifer Love Hewitt. I was like, really? Are we having this conversation?
Are you trying to make me feel better?
Not as good as Steve Kometko though. I mean, you gotta, the K-Man.
Don't overreach, Brownie.
The K-Man wears sleeveless suits. Don't overreach.
And I also think they felt like a girl could never do the show and a black person could never do the show. This is a show for college guys. And the fact that people said, no, we really like her and what she's doing, like it just kind of, it was the thing that kind
that
of
was a fun,
the
I guess hosted around the same time when they were in that in between
period.
When
they were for like 6 or 7 months and they couldn't figure it out. Right.
Yeah. And it was literally just like Tom McNamara, the stage manager, who's still the stage manager for the soup.
I love Tom so much.
Love
him.
He was our web soup stage manager too. And it was literally just him and like two writers.
Yeah. Sometimes just one writer.
In the studio and that's
it. The other guy couldn't be bothered.
That was it.
Jeez. And it was great. I mean, what was nice about it back then and, and I don't know that the iteration of it now is the same, is that it was just so homemade. I mean, it was just Wayne's World. It was clearly just a couple of fucking knuckleheads. And we did whatever we wanted. And it was the only show I've ever done where in the middle of taping, we'd be like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if Tom ran through with a big ass fucking hoagie? And then we would stop down for 10 minutes and someone would get him a sandwich and we would tape it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was so great. And and every day, if it didn't work, you had to show the next day. And so there wasn't that kind of like, you know how it is where you're so precious with your jokes and you grip everything super tightly. And we just fucked around.
Wait,
and
was it daily back then?
It was daily. It was five days.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, we did four, and then Friday would be like a recap of the best.
That's
stuff
right.
Yeah, because there were so many fucking daytime talk shows back then that it made sense to do it every day.
And Ricky was on a lot, I remember.
We did a lot of Ricky. We did a lot of
Richard
Jerry,
Bay,
a lot of
Sally
Jerry
Jesse,
Bay, all that stuff. And then we started to incorporate the reality stuff, like towards the later in my run, like, you know, Survivor and all that stuff. And we were doing that kind of thing too. But yeah, I mean, it was really, what was interesting about when I was there was that it really was a clip show in the beginning. And then by the time I'd been there like 6 months or 9 months, it was a comedy show and the clips had been like maybe 90 seconds. And by the time I'd been there for half a year, they were down to like 20 or 30 seconds. It was like, how little of this clip can we show to get us to the joke?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really about the joke and fuck these clips and people can watch this shit somewhere else. And let's just make this be a comedy show. And we were doing sketches and we started doing animated pieces. And so, it really just became more of a variety show. And then we got everybody. I mean, they'd all been doing this, but we got Alan and we got all the guys into the show more, trying to have them be characters and have them do stuff. And it was probably after Archer the best job I've ever had. You know, even though I'm nursing some scarred over pus filled wounds about it. But I'm not bitter though. Wounded and angry. That's not bitter.
That's fine. It's fine.
No, there's a tumor in my craw. No.
And fuck all of you. Yeah. I'll show you someday. Yeah. But other than that,
steaming shit. I'm going to leave in the hallway on the way out of here.
You got to be on Friends.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. I know. I've been so lucky and really, really grateful. Like, I don't think anybody really wronged me. The business is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, I loved that show like a person. You know what I mean? I still feel that way about it. And I don't feel personally upset about the way it went away. I do. But on behalf of other people on the show, I feel that way because I just left it and did Friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there are guys who were writing on that show who got one day's notice that the show was ending who aren't even in the business anymore. Like, that's how traumatic it was.
How long did you do Talk Soup?
Like, close to, like, approaching 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's every day.
Every day, 5 days a week. And then we got a week off at the holidays. And sometimes if I wanted to do stand-up, we'd try to pre-tape an extra show so I could, like,
what was the schedule like for a daily show like that? Like, it's like all this...
incredibly demanding for a shitty little 22-minute yeah. cable show. Come in the morning, 9 o'clock, tear makeup, and we tape around 10:30 or 11. And then we'd break at lunch at, you know, noon. It was live to tape, but it didn't ever take us more than an hour. It usually just take a half hour, 40 minutes. And then 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, we'd write the next show. Like, the guys would have been writing that day, and then we would spend about an hour working on the script and 3 hours talking an insane amount of shit and making really dirty jokes.
Yeah. You know who doesn't work that hard is Michael Yo. It's like, he just doesn't. Oh, my God, you're here!
Wait, I got a question. How do you have so many Twitter followers? Oh, I mean, it's, have you seen?
Because like, he has like 10 television shows. Have
I'm
you
like,
noticed?
I'm like, you're like Oprah, but not. It's like you're like a white version, a male version of Oprah.
Oh my God, you're I've been waiting so long for someone to tell me that. Oh, I mean, I'm waiting so long.
How are you doing
He's
this?
Like Oprah only without any of the life changing effect on other people.
Guys, can we all just remember our spirit for a second, please?
Would you just
are you living your best life?
Say follow at Michael Yo? Would you just do that one time?
Yes, just one time.
Yes, of course I will.
At Michael Yo.
Yes, I will.
If you don't do it, I'll say you're a racist.
Oh my God. Oh my God!
You're doubly racist against doubly two racist. Races. Yeah. Since he's biracial. There you go. You hate all of my many people.
Oh, of course, a black person would say that.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's okay. We don't really feel that way. It's just an easy. It's just it's an easy way to go. Yeah.
And so that was so funny. Yes, of course I'll tweet Michael Yo. And he just got airtime on the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah, right. It was subtle. He just snuck in here and just put himself in the show.
Yeah.
I will tweet him. Michael.
You don't need
he's
to tweet
sweetheart.
Anything because you just said tweet at Michael Yo. It just happened.
Yeah. I love Michael.
She's in on it. She's in on it. She knew what was going on. He's just trying to get more
she's taking followers. I'm gonna start getting emails from her like, Michael wants to know why you haven't tweeted him.
There's a lapse in the show. This is your opportunity.
He just went back to his office with a map that says Twitter with question mark and red lines.
Strings along it.
And then it just shows Nerdist Podcast. Yeah.
There's a bookcase that slides.
There's a knife in our logo.
Yeah, it's like a beautiful mind. There's all these Twitter things, hashtags.
Hashtag dick tits. What does it mean?
What does it mean? Is it the key? Is it the key to more followers?
It's all pointing to a thing.
Yeah. And that's Michael Yo.
And that's we just go. Did him.
Oh, I love Michael.
I love our Michael Yo segments on the show.
Is that going to be recurring now? He's so excited.
That's what's fun. You never know who's going to drop by.
Yeah. I don't even remember what this space was when I was here, but that was my dressing room.
Oh, right on the other side
that was
there.
My dressing
room
Who's right
is that
there.
Now?
It's a non-specific utility. Dressing room.
Yeah,
like
because they
retired guests.
My fucking number, bitches.
So when you started doing Talk Soup, did you continue to do stand up at that time, or did you just not have time?
Yeah, I didn't have as much time, but I would get out like two or three weekends a year. I mean, it was really limited. I would go up and do shows here in town because I could, and then I would go like I always would go to San Francisco. I'd go to New York. I'd go to like Tempe. You know, I maybe do like five cities a year. Chicago.
Well, I really wish I'd been able to play Cobb's when it was right on the like down on the wharf.
Yeah,
when it was just a tiny tiny room.
It was tiny.
Cobb's is fun now, but it literally it's like an airplane.
And
hangar.
It's anxiety producing too. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're always like, am I going to sell this room? Am I gonna sell
this
well,
you can
room?
Have 300 people
room?
Show up and the room still feels empty.
Totally. And also, like, that's where I started, and I'm lucky that that's probably where I do best because it's my hometown. But like every time, like, and I've sold that room like many times. And then the last time I was there, I sold Friday and Saturday and like kind of sold Thursday and Sunday. And I was like, there's nobody in the hammock that's hanging from the rafters. I'm a failure. So.
I always feel more comfortable at Punchline just because it's like 200 people.
Punchline's intimate and it's more like a real comedy
that's
club.
That's a perfect comedy club. Just
the Punchline,
like,
it really is.
Yeah, no, there's, it's,
I don't know how people
pressure.
Know where it is. It's like tucked away Punchline? In the financial district.
Yeah.
Paper and emails.
I guess.
Go up to the nondescript bank building. And then
that was where I did like all of my showcasing. You know, that was like the club where you went on Sunday and sat there crying into your soup and never got up for weeks on end. Yeah. They were like, maybe next time, kiddo. So that is another place that I don't particularly love going back. It's so funny. I sound so angry, and I'm really not. I'm a happy, happy person, and I love doing stand up. But you know, the crucible of the first few years you do stand up is just so emotional. Like you just remember. For me, I remember those years so vividly.
Oh yeah.
And I was doing. Who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to John Benjamin about like when he was buddy. I feel like it was Sam Cedar. Maybe not. When he started, he was like in a team. And he was just saying he would go to watch his buddy do stand-up, and he would just wait at this club every Sunday for 6 hours and never get up and be like, maybe next week. And I was like, that was what it was like for like the first 2 years I did comedy. You know, you just come down, hang out. Maybe we'll put you up. Maybe we won't. Oh, fuck you. Maybe next week.
But then you realize that's a big part of it is hanging out and just watching comedy.
That part of it you enjoy. And I would rather go sit at a comedy club and watch the show rather than doing this like, please pick me.
And San Francisco is a phenomenal place to start doing stand-up.
It makes you very tough.
It
very
really,
tough,
yeah, and but also it's a city where people read books and they understand how to go see a live show, and they're smart crowds. I think San Francisco is a great place.
Even the current wave of comics that are coming down, like Moshe Kasher, Brent Weinbach, Ali Wong. There's a lot of people coming down from like San Francisco that are just great,
smart and interesting. Yeah. Smart, interesting guys come out of that. I mean, and it's very competitive. I mean, because you feel like the lowest part of the bar is so high, you really feel pressured to be as like personal as original as you can very early. And also you're not there trying to cultivate 5 minutes for an agent to pick you. You know, you're just trying to be as funny as you can. So
I always tell people like if you have other stuff that you're working on in LA, that's fine, but don't go to LA with the intention of starting stand-up.
That was the mistake I made.
You should go to...
But you're a writer too, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's just kind of something that happened in the middle of doing trying to do stand-up.
I just did Brett Ehrlich for my show, and he was talking about it.
Oh, I love Brett.
Brett's so fucking funny.
If you're young, I think you should go to San Francisco or Austin or maybe city like that, then go to New York.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
Chicago,
I
don't know.
Chicago seems like there's a lot of people coming out.
A lot of clubs there and guys working out there. And apparently Atlanta is supposed to be great. Like,
really?
I was talking to like one of the guys that opened for me, and I was like, can you even get up in this town? He's like, oh my God, there's so many
rooms. Laughing Skull's a great room. It's tiny, but it's a fucking fun room.
So fun. Yeah. That's the only time where I just walk out and I'm like, let's see what happens. Yeah. Night, you know what I mean? I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And it doesn't matter. You're just like, you're just having a conversation with people.
Lower stakes out anywhere else. And like,
they
in
get
LA.
A different show. They get a totally, they get a more intimate, more, kind of, it's interesting for them. It's interesting for you because you're not like, there's 400 people here and I got to fucking destroy. Yeah. You can just
And LA has that stigma of, you never know who's in the room. And that's what you're instilled in. Very early on, starting out here, it's kind of like, and it's true. Like after a couple open mics, like I was seen by Scott Aukerman and BJ Porter, and they're like, "Oh, come and hang out at the show we're starting." And like, I was too young, I was too new. I had a set, but nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And then like, I was too scared to try new stuff. And it's just a bad place to start.
Oh,
I regret
it
all
hard.
The time.
It's a challenge. I mean, the thing is, you're talented and you'll prevail. You know what I mean? You have to. I mean, I just spent 10 minutes talking about how I'm like completely like hampered by all of my early comedic experiences. So now I'm gonna lie to you, but no, you will. I mean, you'll transcend all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
No, but I mean, it was a while back, and like, I've made like all like great friends. Like I met Chris during that time and stuff like that. So
hey buddy,
at the Bruco.
Yay!
Like I hate also the other thing that happens now for me, which is a lot of guys work out at the Improv, and a lot of people that people recognize from TV work out at the Improv, and you go up on stage there and they do your credits and everybody's like, wee, I can't wait to see somebody that I remember from TV. And then there's this interior pressure, like, I came here to work out, but now I got to give these people who see me on TV some TV-like experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel like you can't work out fully because they're like, well, we want to see what we would have heard on Archer. We want to see, you know what I mean? And you feel this like pressure too. And a lot of guys will go, and they'll, like, I went up once and it was like me and Drew Carey and Adam Sandler and Chris Rock. I don't know why this happened, but it was like all those people on one show. And everybody just went up and scrubbed fucking miserably because everybody's like, we want 10 minutes of your special. You know what I mean? And then they're like, this isn't new.
Yeah, there's more pressure. You know, it's like Seinfeld says in The Comedian, you get a few minutes of grace period from the audience because they know who you are. But then I almost feel like there is way more pressure on those guys because people come in being like, this is going to be the greatest comedy. And it's
there's a surprise and they're so excited. And they're like, I'm going to get 10 minutes of Chris's special.
Yeah.
And then Chris has a notebook.
Yeah.
And he's reading he's doing his sets like down to his notebook. You know what I mean? Because he's not there to give you 10 minutes of special. He's there to work stuff out. But,
right.
So I think that feeling of like going up at one of these clubs and always feeling like, I don't know, I got to try to kill it. Is always exists.
One of the reasons why I kind of started the Meltdown space. Like, I want a place to work out and just fuck around. And people know that that's what's going on. And it's okay.
Yeah. I saw Chris Rock at the original room at the Comedy Store once. And
it was like
nobody was there. I don't even know why I was there. I think I was just on a show earlier. But it was, he showed up and Louis was there. And like, just Chris went on stage and just like sat on a stool and just was like, what movies are out? And someone would be like, this movie. He's like, all right, this is why that movie sucks. And then everyone just kind of like mumble through why that movie sucks.
Right.
And then he would go to Louis, like, hey, anything else, Louis? He's like, I don't know. But there was like five people in there and Brody Stevens pacing in the back waiting to go on.
Did you guys watch that Talking Funny thing that they did?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. I wish it was like 3 hours long because I felt like they had like the beginning of a conversation and then it was over.
Well, what was funny about that is that it was watching, and I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, was watching Ricky Gervais.
A baby comic?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Be a totally fucking baby comedian.
Saying all
yeah.
that stuff that you say when you're new to comedy. Yeah. I don't want to do the same stuff. And, and it's like,
oh my God.
Are you serious? And they
weren't even like, we were all enraged. They were like, all right, little guy.
I know. It was so adorable.
Yeah, express your opinion.
But it was really fun to watch like someone.
Put your $1 billion away. Yeah, exactly. Let's tell you how it is.
But you get that off your pile of money.
But that's what was so fun was to watch someone like Ricky Gervais, who is, you know, ostensibly at the, you know, at the peak of his career, mm-hmm. but still, it just kind of shows you like, you know, you may never always be exactly where you right. want to be. Because here he is. With the three of the best comics ever.
Yeah.
And they're sort of like, okay, you know.
You know what was really interesting also was there was like this moment that I really loved where they, like, that was the kind of the difference between them and Ricky was like, these guys are like, I love funny, like, I've really come to that place in my career. I love anything funny. And I'm not embarrassed to say I like fart jokes. I like puns. That's not what I do in comedy, but I laugh at stupid shit all the time. And there's something... Like, I have a pure love of comedy. And that's what they're saying. Like, we have a pure love of comedy. There's stuff we'll do that we think is good. There's stuff that we won't do that we think is bad. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I don't love the body of the thing that is comedy.
Right.
And Ricky was like, no, there's good stuff and there's bad stuff. And let's all agree. And then let's have tea. You know what I mean? And also that you can like guys who work totally differently from you. And respect that, even if it's not what you would do.
I loved listening to Ricky Gervais talk about, like, well, I can't just go up and talk. I mean, then I'm not doing anything. And Seinfeld's like, why don't you just be funny?
Everything. That's pretty much what it is, right? I mean, there's nothing better, I think, than going up on stage and talking and surprising the shit out of yourself.
Well, because like, you know,
sometimes stuff comes out of your brain that you didn't plan. And you're like, I just did that, man. That was magic. Oh, shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then you try it again and nothing.
Nothing.
Well,
never
you
again.
Also, you know, you also, I think the trick is to slowly over time merge the two parts of your brain. Because when you first start doing comedy, there's this idea of like, oh, I have to be something.
Yeah, I have to be a big idea.
I have to be this thing. And that's what's funny. And I have to make jokes. And, you know, and then the more comfortable you get, it just starts to merge more with just, I'm me. Mm-hmm. And this is what I say. And
that is the thing.
And it doesn't feel like anything.
Right. It's just, that's the thing, though. I think, like, the when you finally make the transition from being, like, a transition from being a baby comic to, like, kind of inhabiting your comedic self fully is when you can just fully and 100% be yourself on stage. Like, you don't transform into anybody else. You don't think differently. You're just fully yourself on stage, mm-hmm. and you're not referring to any other act or any other idea, and that takes so long. And that's the thing; it's just time. There's no other way to do that than just to do comedy a million fucking times until that happens.
Did you feel that?
There's no other answer.
There's no way.
Did you feel like when you were doing the Talk Soup that like your stand up suffered because you weren't maybe writing as much or performing as much
in every way?
Yeah.
And whenever I had to do a show, I would fucking flop sweat. Like I would be so afraid. I would be afraid I wouldn't remember my material. I would be afraid the audience would hate me. It ended up being this kind of like I would sleepwalk through my shows and
it was weird because you didn't feel that way before you were working all the time.
No, exactly. And you know, because you have to inhabit that world, you know what I mean, a lot. And you can become very precious with your material because you don't do stand up enough. So every little bit, like you just grip it so sweaty tight, you know. But now that I tour pretty frequently and I, you know, also it makes it easier when you go to a show and everybody bought a ticket with your name on it.
Yes.
It changes the entire experience of stand up. Because they're going to listen to whatever you say. Not that you're going to phone it in, but like you can just get up there and you can be free. You know what I mean? And you're not like, I've got to get him in the first 5 minutes.
Of course.
And then I've got him in, and then I've got to close with this, and I've got to tag that, blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't have that, which I had when I was working. I was like, it's got to go like this. And then if I fuck up the thing for the callback for the end, what am I going to do? I'm going to end the show. Oh, God. You know? Like, where you like,
spike the mic. You always spike the mic and then get the fuck out.
During that, like 3/4 of your shot, you're like, I didn't set up the callback. And then just the train just goes.
How about this? This is my. Sarcastically, favorite moment is when you're in the third show of a 3-show night and you go,
Did I say
something and you go, did I already say that?
Oh my God.
And everyone goes, yes. And you're like, oh shit. I'm sorry. I've done almost 4 hours of comedy tonight.
I don't think that's actually ever happened to me, but I have had the moment where I go, literally, I'm having an aneurysm. Like I stop, you know, like a robot. Oh. And there's just a minute where everyone's like, "What's happening?" I'm like, "Did I say that?" And they're like, "Now we can't even look at you anymore."
I don't mind. I'll tell you why I don't mind, because some really great stuff happens from the fuck ups. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I can make stuff out of that, so I don't mind that as much. But I just feel like a big douchebag. But you know, by that third show, it's like you're
you know, I refuse to do that anymore. Poop on that.
Well,
poop
it's because I can't do Sunday shows, and so sometimes they'll tack a third show on a Saturday night when I was doing clubs. Well,
look at the time. is that a hotel key?
No. This was my parking pass.
That's his parking pass.
This is my parking pass that didn't work, and so I have to turn it back in.
And he looked at it for the time.
Yeah.
He's got synesthesia, and he can
see sense
in parking passes.
Is there a level above first world problems? Because that's what you got.
I think
cyborg problems, motherfuckers.
Cyborg. Is black. Actually, cyborg was black. Sorry, let me take that back. He was black.
I was. Don't tell me, motherfuckers. That's actually racist to robots.
We don't all talk that way, you know. Cyborg, you don't remember cyborg from Teen Titans?
No. Oh my God.
Yes.
God.
Cyborg lived in Harlem and he had a terrible accident. He got rebuilt. Come on. It was the reason I got into comics because I was finally a black comic character.
What are you currently reading stuff that you like?
I just finished Girls. Mm-hmm. I'm interviewing the Luna Brothers for my podcast.
Awesome.
Then I shit my pants when they said yes. I've read all the Walking Dead books.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Last trade, huh?
Have I gotten the last trade? I have the compendium,
yeah.
And then I get them on my iPad.
Oh,
so wow. I haven't gotten the last trade. Yeah, did you know you can get them on your iPad?
I did. I don't. I need them.
No, but they're beautiful though. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna get the next compendium. I want the two compendia.
I bought them on my iPad.
Yeah, I want the compendia, so I'm gonna wait till we have 100, and then I'm gonna get the second compendia. But they're beautiful on you. I know that people everywhere are like ripping their iPods to shreds and throwing them in the street, but they're really beautiful on an iPad. They're like luminous
I don't know what to say when people are like, "Yeah, I just like to turn the pages of a book," and I'm like, "Well, I like to carry things on planes that aren't huge."
Carrying the compendium around because I bought it. It was in Toronto and I was working and I was carrying it everywhere. Like, do you have a test? Are you studying?
Man, we're going to have to $25 service charge for compendia.
Totally. Yeah.
They are nice though. Like, and the artwork is beautiful. Just actually released a hardcover book, image did of all the covers and all like the concept art.
And there were also some secondary and like tertiary covers that didn't end up on the book, or they would do like interior
it's
pages
great.
And
it's
stuff.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, I mean, I have like the hardcovers and then I have like the trades.
Yeah,
and
you're good. You're a better collector than me. I'm like a lazy mouth. I'll just buy it when it's all in a book.
It's not that Jonah loves comics. He just loves zombies.
Yeah. And I do like comics. It's like, that's one thing like people talk to me about. Like, it's like, oh, are you excited about the new DC revamps? And I'm like, here's the thing. I really like the comic books I like.
Yeah.
And I usually could give a shit about a superhero.
Right. Really. And I also feel like encyclopedic collecting, I don't know. Like, I respond to a character and a storyline and writing, not just
Sweet
like,
Tooth.
I've got to collect all the fucking shit in the
Everything
world.
Everything in the world.
Yeah.
There's a new book, Sweet Tooth. It's been around for a bit, but it's a great
I just
book.
Read the one, I just read the first of Morning Glories, which was, I don't know how I feel about that one, but I just read, what's the new one that those guys are doing? Witch Doctor? I kind of like the little teaser that they did for Witch Doctor.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get into that one next. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
I read the first one.
Image and Dark Horse are doing great stuff as far as
Tom Morello is launching a comic book.
Dark Horse, right?
Yes, from Rage Against the Machine.
I know.
Called
Tom,
Work It.
Tom's a D&D guy.
I'm
did you know that?
Out.
He finally
no, going to
cut his guitar.
Tom is a D&D guy,
wow.
And I don't know if I don't
him
know
and
if
Barrett are friends, right?
What?
Him and Greg Barrett?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Tom. I don't know if this is a story that he wants.
Tom played
out.
With the Dave Matthews Band.
Does it
in
have
Portugal.
To do with him dropping his pants?
Anyway.
Did it? Is he naked in the story?
Let me roll for my cure and saving throw.
What?
That's Dave Matthews playing D&D.
Yeah, yeah.
A magic missile. So Tom, I think when he first was dating his wife, he was like, his dating his girl before that ultimately became his wife, he was like, listen, I have something I want to tell you. And she was like, oh my God, what is it? Are you seeing someone else? He's like,
three balls.
I play D&D. He had to come to the fact that he played D&D.
I never got into D&D. I feel like it requires a lot of organization.
I tried it once.
It requires one person
to be organized, and then you show up and then you play. The key to D&D is finding a good DM who will run the game, and then you can show up with your character and play with people. But
I felt like, do I have to paint a figurine?
No, that's optional. That's optional.
It's great.
I show up with my shitty unpainted figurine and I get judged by everybody with their beautifully painted figurines.
That's cuter.
Aisha, that's just nail polish on his fucking face.
That you just dipped.
You just dipped him in nail polish.
Just the head.
No, I didn't. Well, how come the tips of your finger?
He's a demon. I made him red.
He's red. He's demon. What the fuck?
He rose out of the ashes like a phoenix.
Like a phoenix. Yeah, so I've never got it. And now I play video games, which, so, yeah. I'm a video gamer. I can only have one thing that ruins my life and keeps me from making money to pay my mortgage.
Oh my God, it's so hard to balance all that stuff. I was way into Portal 2, and then I kind of just had to.
Oh yeah, I started that. It's great. Although I like to kill things, and so Portal 2 is something I play when my nieces are around because
I
like
love puzzle games.
The puzzles are awesome. Puzzles. They're great.
You gotta play
and they're
Limbo.
Good to play with somebody else.
Limbo is a great puzzle game, and it's beautiful.
Ooh, all right, I like beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. You can just download it onto the Xbox, but it's just black and white.
Did you guys play Braid?
Oh yeah, no.
Braid,
which was fun, but not beautiful.
It's like Braid, but it's like a side scrolling.
I guess it was beautiful, but
it was fucking gorgeous.
It was beautiful Braid, but it was like Donkey Kong beautiful, like vintage 1988 beautiful. Yeah, totally.
I want to talk for a second about our parallel lives. So I don't remember when Blind Date started, but late 90s, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like when. Yeah, like late 90s, maybe like 80. I don't know, like so 98 or something.
Something like that. Yeah. So then that show explodes,
and then there 15,000.
Then 15,000 knockoffs. Mine
was like
Shipmates.
It was like a triple.
And you
like
were fifth wheel.
Fell out. I was fifth wheel.
That was the one with the RV, right?
It was a party bus.
Oh, sorry.
Also known as humiliation on wheels. Yeah, I did that just for 1 year, though. And then I chewed my own arm off and ran.
We did. I did mine for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it was...
You know what's so funny, though, about that is that do you find... Like, sometimes people come up to me on the street, and it happened more then, but still now. And they'll go, hey, you're on that show, Fifth Wheel. And I'm literally in the middle of going, I'm sorry. And they're like, I love that show.
I'm the
that
same way.
That was my favorite show. I would wake up in the middle of the night to watch it, you know? And you never know what people are going to love about what you did, you know?
No, and they also, you know, and people take it wrong because they feel like we're just being shitty. But it's like, no. I'm not. I'm just letting you know that I don't think that every...
That's
like,
my best
we have
work.
This natural self-deprecating gene. Yes. And that's all that is. It's not. It's just us being like, no, I listen.
Which is
I
also can... different than, like, fuck that show. I mean, I don't do that. I'm just like, you know, it was what it was.
Right.
I tried really hard to make... I mean, my goal was like... You know, so many of those shows, especially with Roger, God bless Roger, but, you know, it was like, maybe someone's going to make a love connection, you know, and I was like, are we looking at what's really happening? Everybody has a cold sore. You know, you're like, let's just tell
they're
the truth.
They're purposely casting aggressive, hungover people
yes,
to
aggressive
fight.
Aggressive drunks to fight over bad sex.
It's basically just like, it's basically like ferret legging, you know, where they tie a sack around your ankles and drop a couple ferrets in, and then you just have to hold them in as long as you can.
So you just try your best to try to make it funny, and I tried my best to comment on it and be a little bit more like, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna be sarcastic, and I'm gonna say, like, here comes the slut, you know, because that's what the show was. Here comes the slut. I mean, that was what it was. Like, for nice people, here comes the slut.
Yeah. Do, do, do.
Which two assholes will get together?
It's all right.
And then here come our underpants. So, you know, but it like any job, you know, when you're young and someone offers you a gig on television, you take it.
Well, Roger, I think, made a fuckload of money because I think he was one of the EPs of that show.
And he owned it, yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of money in syndicated television because you're basically selling off the show region by region.
Bit by bit, yeah.
And
over
so,
and over again.
Yeah, and so you're getting, you're basically getting
it's
this.
It's like breaking up a lot of silver spoons in an auction. You're going to get more money.
All right, are you talking about fucking Bargain Hunt again? Is that how you relate to things?
Storage Wars.
I love Storage Wars so much. I don't know why.
Because you just love old crap being sold.
You know what it is about Storage
makes you
Wars?
Have for your own old crap.
Yeah.
The thing about shows like Storage Wars is that it's basically like blue collar archaeology.
Right?
That's basically what it is. Like, they're digging up these things. It's very low stakes.
I always love that this could have been a meth guy's like hideout, or it could have been some rich person's storage space. That could be an
it's
Eames
insane.
Chair. That's not an Eames chair. That's never an Eames chair.
That's
a reproduction piece of shit. Let's just get that out of the way.
The Eames chair did not end up in Ohio.
In fucking Tempe, Arizona, in the desert at the storage. At you store it. You know, and everything smells like formaldehyde. Sure, it's an Eames chair. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. I hate that guy.
So are those bolt holes? No, they're air vents.
They're quality holes.
Although it's always when they find the big collection of comic books. I'm like, that's something realistic that you're going
to
find.
I want to sit on a shitload of money and just outbid all of them so they don't have a show 1 week.
Right? Just buy the whole
I'm
thing
just
up.
I'm buying everything.
Like a dark horse. And then a mysterious stranger came in.
Yeah.
And scooped
is that my Myra?
Fresh away from the fruit stand with his fistful of cash. My severance patch. Bitches.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anyone got rich leaving the fruit stand.
No. Anyone ever
you
got
can.
Rich? Can you?
Really?
Like George, who has been there for 10 years and had stock when it was $10 the share.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Jeez. Oh,
yeah. Let's talk. One of the guys who worked at the Genius Bar, who no longer works at the Apple Store, got fired. That is a fucking great story. He got fired for this.
He was walking back into the Genius Room carrying a steak knife that he had had from lunch. Because he brought a knife, because, you know.
To cut food.
Yeah, because it's a plastic knife.
It's a tool.
And the manager was, like, very upset about him having the knife and, like, asked him on the floor what he was doing with it. And he's like, oh, I mean, it's from my lunch. I just, you know, I brought it to work, cut up my lunch. And then the manager was, like, still weirdly aggressive about it. And then he was just, like, trying to cut the tension. So he's like, oh, yeah, it's just for my lunch and unruly customers. And then he got fired.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Right?
Wow.
That sucks.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Never fire a guy holding a knife,
yeah.
P.S.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I'm not going to use my iPad for at least 3 or 4 hours right. this afternoon because of that.
Oh, I could never stay mad at you, iPad.
Sit on it while at my iMac. Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love having my phone, my iPad, and my computer just in that. Oh. I look at them sometimes. I'm like, you guys.
I have an iMac and I have an MVP. They sit next to each other so they can talk and when I'm not there so they don't get lonely.
Yep.
And then I have an iPhone and an iPod Touch because one's for talking and one's for playing games and listening to podcasts. Nice. And then I have a little mini one that's lighter so I can take it to the gym.
Adorable.
And that's all so far.
That's a good little ecosystem.
It's good. And if I get them all there, I'm like, I'm going to fucking jack into the Matrix.
I just got 27-inch iMac.
Yeah, you did.
Ooh, it's good.
Which is
so pretty. Shiny.
It's really shiny.
Do you have Lion?
No,
I have not gotten Lion yet.
I'm gonna give them a little bit of time to work out some of the kinks.
There's a lot of things about it that are great, and I have the trackpad, the touchy pad thing, it works great for that.
Right.
When will this air?
January
2012.
Like after I'm gone, right?
After you quit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
After you quit,
Lion sucks. Lion sucks. Lion is built for...
You better hope you never have to go back to the
Lion is built for hardware that doesn't yet exist. It's
right.
built for a touchscreen desktop computer.
That was sort of like when they first released the MacBook Air, and it was like, okay, we still have wires.
Yeah. I still can't get a movie on anything but a CD. Like, that was what I was like, how am I going to play movies?
It was a little ahead of the curve in that way.
I mean, I'm sure that they'll down the line, they're going to have something, but like all of the backward scrolling,
the
interface
is like your iPad. I would totally fuck it.
Yeah, listen, if my iMac had a vagina, I would never leave the house. Ever leave the
Somebody
house.
Somebody invent that.
Please. I thought it was going to get... Because a while ago, when I first joined Twitter, I really wasn't thinking. And I tweeted... I tweeted whenever I fix a porn star's iPod, I always find myself wondering whether or not it's been in her vagina.
And then, I think I remember that.
Yeah, because Hardwick fucking retweeted it, and then Steve Agee retweeted it, and I was like, "Fuck! 2 million people just saw that." And then I like deleted the tweet.
Oh, you got all scared.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs is not following me on Twitter.
Well, you don't know that.
He doesn't need to follow anybody. He follows himself.
He follows himself.
Hey, me. I'm me. Yeah. It's awesome. RT.
Hey.
There's a picture floating around online of like him in front of like a big IBM sign, just like. Obviously, he was walking by a building that had an IBM like sign, and it's him like sticking the middle finger and smiling at the camera.
Funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah. He used to be funny before he was a billionaire.
Yeah, he just had a really good quote online about like America being really fucked up. I was like, wow, this guy is
right. Amazing. He doesn't care anymore, right? He could buy us.
They passed Exxon.
They did.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the most valuable company in the country.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm not giving them. They don't need my money anymore.
No, but
stop
I'm still.
That's not gonna stop me. No, I am such an Apple whore. It's not even. I can't even. People who use PCs, I don't even know what they're doing. It's like they're speaking a different language.
I refuse.
I have to click start, then I have to. What's happening?
You have just started a flame war in the comment threads of this podcast.
Hi, Internet.
Here's why I like PCs.
You're attacking me personally because I
need to
like
play my
thing.
Star Wars MMO.
I like to use my video game platform on because you can use the arrows up, 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 left, left.
I like an open system, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Linux, Ubuntu. Okay, I'm sorry.
If you know how to fucking use it, your Mac's open too, jackass.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And so much easier, too. Like, you just like click on console or whatever. What's the thing you click on?
Terminal.
Terminal, yeah. There's like all up inside your shit right there. Bam, all up in them guts. Just right like that.
Go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you? So you're working on Archer now, and
I'm
you have your
Archer
podcast.
Now.
Great show, by the way.
Oh, yeah, the Archer! Yeah, thank you. It's so awesome. Thank
it's
you.
Really, and
I wish I had anything to do with it, but I'm so proud of it. Yeah. It is. It's pretty, right? You know, it's the, like I was saying, after TalkSoup, it's probably the thing that I'm like most in love with and most proud of and most psyched to have gotten because it's a, you know, you just, I don't know, it just, it was a job and it was offered to me and I wasn't like, I'm going to go do this animated show. I was like, oh my God, I get to curse on television. Yeah. Let's do this. And then it's turned into this thing. And, you know, last year we were at Comic-Con and we had like a little baby room. And then this year we had like the giant hangar and then we all like urinated ourselves. It was so exciting. And we were so like, not like, we're awesome. Just like, oh my God, if this was all the people that watch our show, this is plenty. Like it was so exciting, you know?
Great cast, too.
And everyone on the show is so nice, and I'm so
except Jessica Walter. She's mean.
She actually sits the nicest out of everybody. She's like, somebody, I just want to hug her. She smells like cookies.
She's great.
And then I have my podcast, which is only 3 weeks old.
How are you enjoying it so far?
Podcast. I love it so much. Oh, baby, 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 baby podcast. I'm now going to be the Ricky Gervais of this group of people. I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like...
I can't have the same guests on twice.
Oh, we got over that.
I love it, and I know I've been wanting to do this for a very long time and just was never in. I was lucky enough to get a job that took me out of the country for a while, and I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute I was like, I'm going to be home for 6 months, I'm going to get everybody I know to do this thing at some point. I'm going to just beg and cry. And then what happened was it's doing well enough that people like are wanting to come on the show. And it's, and also, I don't know about you guys, but I don't ever get to see my friends. I never get to see my friends. Like I've known Alonzo Bowden since I moved to L.A. I see him like once a year if we do something together.
Yeah.
Like Brett, I met when I did a show, and I get to sit with my friends for an hour and just talk to them about their lives and what they're into. And it's a gift because otherwise I never see anybody and never get, I mean, just, it's fucking awful.
You know what you should do, Tyler? You should do a live podcast at the Nerd Mount
Special. Yes, you should.
If you ever want to.
Also, you should do the Meltdown Show, which is the stand-up show I have with Kumail Nanjiani.
I would love to do that. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
I actually talked to Alonzo at Montreal about it. Like, we did a show together, and like, I was like, "Hey, do you ever do like the smaller rooms?" Like,
yeah, Alonzo will go anywhere. He's a whore.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And, like, hi, Alonzo.
He's like, "Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever around on a Wednesday, but if I am,
he tours though. He works.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I know. Yeah. That's why every time like there's a guy that just like is the working comic that just is out, you know, all the time. I was like, well, if you're ever in town,
I would love that. I mean, like, you know, like I'm trying. And also, the nice thing about that I'm excited about for my show is I'm also able to approach people I could never approach otherwise. Like I'm gonna interview Dave Eggers.
Oh,
if you guys
wow.
know who that is.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Because my show is like not just comedy focused, so it's just mostly man focused. Although there are gonna be women on the show, it's for people to know, it's called Girl on Guy, and so it's essentially a show about stuff that guys are into. So it's like 70% guys, and then I also talk to women who are doing guy shit. So like Maggie Q is gonna be a guest on the show because she's like an action star, and then I'm talking to Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and I'm going to interview the head distiller at Hangar One and St. George Spirits just about their spirits program, and mainly so I can get drunk for an hour on somebody else's time.
Get the Sam Adams guy on. I like him.
Jim Cook.
He can't make conversation. He drinks so much beer.
I was doing a radio show in the 1900s, and we did a promotion with Sam Adams, and Jim Cook was there, and he really is fascinated by being able to float that fucking bottle cap on the head. Like, he pours it, and he was like, "You can float this bottle cap." Like,
that's how he talks to me.
I know. Are you drunk now? He'd already pounded like two.
Always drunk. I met him like, they did like some kind of a celebrity event thing in Boston like 10 years ago when I was doing TalkSoup, and I went there and it was a very random assortment of people. Like Matt Damon was there and what's her name? Elizabeth.
There had to have been at least one Wahlberg.
They might have been floating around.
Elizabeth Shue. Elizabeth Montgomery.
No, the other one, the really skinny one from American Pie.
Elizabeth, Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon Elizabeth. I'm really good with concepts, ideas, and math,
She has a first name for a last name.
Things like what happened, I can't remember it.
And Jim Cook allegedly drunk, we don't know, definitely
maybe,
was drinking beers at 9 a.m.
Maybe a speech impediment.
Yeah.
But lovely guy, but just like, hey, thanks for coming.
It takes 1900 years.
But have you seen how many hops are in this?
Look at this.
I'm just walking around with an overflowing handful of hops just everywhere he goes. Have you smell this.
I lost
this.
Everything except the hops.
They look sweaty. I don't think I want to smell them.
I don't want to.
How long have you been holding
those? They've been in my pocket for years.
You can eat them.
He's just fucking cranking off onto the hops. Like, why are you jerking off on hops?
That's the secret of Sam Adams.
Who wouldn't?
Jim Cook, I love your beer. If you want to send me some,
go for it. It's delicious.
Make sure it's on a Sunday.
And they have that one.
He ejaculates on your neck and he throws a bottle cap on it. Like, would you give up the bottle cap thing?
They also have, I don't know if this will
happen. Poor Michael Yo's assistant.
Are we, she's like, why is this happening to me?
Destroying your, okay, all right, sorry.
They have the distilled beer that it turned into booze. It's like, it's like high alcohol. It's like maybe like 20% or 40%.
Oh, I've had that. Yeah. It like, it smells and kind of tastes like whiskey.
Wait, you've had
it's delicious.
Yeah. What is it called? It's called the, if it comes to the U. I forget.
Eagle Rock Brewery has a similar beer to that.
It's called U?
I forget what it's called. Oh, it starts with a U.
There must have been so many.
It's like 100 and something proof, right?
There must have been.
It's like 80 proof.
It's 80 proof. Yeah, 40%. Yeah, 40%. It's delicious.
There must have been an incredible amount of alcohol innovation since I quit drinking almost a decade ago.
Right.
I can't imagine what I
do.
You are missing
out. I'm very proud of you that you talk about being like sober and, you know, you're like really, it's good. It's good. I think it helps people, you know.
I mean, I'm not proud,
so I'm proud of you. But I also, so I do, if I was going to say that I felt sorry for someone who had quit drinking so long ago, it would be because you quit during the era of, like, you know, fizzy alcoholic beverages.
Zima.
And like, yeah, and like Coors Light. And like, now we just got like our dismal shit and I'm going
to
go.
That's
like,
what's crazy. I'll tell you what I used to. Even more than 10 years ago, there's just so many beers
so
now.
Many delicious beers.
Yeah. I tell you what I used to, I feel like what I used to drink was, Amstel Light was sort of the filler in between when I couldn't get to like Sapporo or Red Stripe.
That's not too bad.
Sapporo's a great beer.
Those are what I meant. And then every once in a while, some of those like Arrogant Bastard Ale or some sort of
that's
weird.
A great
Arrogant
beer.
Bastard's good.
Or Red Tail. I think Red Tail, I remember, is being pretty good.
San Francisco is the best place to be a drinker because when I first got there, and there's this bar on Tate Street called Tornado where they have like 50 beers on tap. They have this amazing happy hour. Everything's $2. When I first got out of college, I made so little money. And like, we all had $10. Like, that was our Saturday. Like, how can we make this $10 go really far? And you could get a Hefeweizen, like, you know, a 2-foot Hefeweizen for $2.25 and just nurse that puppy all afternoon.
Holy shit.
Get yourself a sausage, one extra beer, and that was like your Saturday.
Yeah. So, downtown, there's a Worcester Cooker, which is sausage place, and they have all these great.
Oh, and there's another new place like that on like in Sunset Junction here. That's like,
oh, no. You're thinking of
something sausage, Kirsty Worsty.
Oh, there
I don't know anything about the Germans. It's a Kirsty Worsty.
There's a new artisanal beer place down Echo Park.
Well, they don't laugh and they like shitting on things. Those are the two things that I know. And one of
from
them
personal experience.
And yes, and if you want one of them to cut your dick off and serve it to you as a dish, they will do that as well.
Slice very thin. With
Caramelized onions. Other than that, I don't really know that much about this. I'm not even sure Germany is real. I've never seen it. Have you?
Really want Sam Summer Ale and a bread bowl of chowder? Right now.
Germany is a naiad as far as I'm concerned. Like, I've heard of it, but I've never seen one. Yeah.
I've seen several naiads.
Have you been to Germany? Really?
No.
You've never been to Germany?
You've never been.
Germany. What I like was that he was voodooing you into like, yes, you have been to Germany.
I have been to Hamburg.
Here are these pictures.
Remember that last week?
Oh my god, I'm getting this weird Jason Bourne. Like, holy shit, it's all coming back.
What happened in Berlin? You know what happened in Berlin. You were there. That was my first job. What happened in Berlin? I own that on DVD. I've seen it like 50.
I like how I ask you that, and my passport has one stamp in it from Canada.
You've never been to Berlin.
Like a month ago.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you should have. And you should have answered just, you've never been.
That's a shame. You have to go. The German
See
are lovely
Auschwitz,
people.
And you know, it's really good.
I do want to go to Germany though because I heard they have the most castles. I've always wanted to see
castles.
I wanted to see something older than 200 years. I've never seen any.
Right. Everyone here is like, this is so old. It was built in 1940.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm from Hawaii.
Olivera Street was like 1921.
My house was built in 56, and I say that like it's an accomplishment. I've got a 56 enclave.
But the thing is, that blows me away though, because I grew up in Hawaii and like there's nothing really old there,
right?
You know?
At all, because of the sea air and the salt. Yeah,
except the tourists, Wi-Fi.
Boom. I thought I was going to get equipment berry pie when I came in. I'm very upset about that.
Oh, you're going to get equipment berry pie. You take it with the thing and you put it in the thing. Quements, is that word? Is one young gentleman was very incensed by that word.
By quement? Does it sound like wants queef?
Some words just grate on people, and he wanted to write some sort of a code that would strip every episode of that
like
word.
Like most ladies and the word moist.
Moist, they hate it.
Yeah.
That's a funny word, actually.
But a lot of ladies hate the word moist.
My friend can't hear panty. Panty fucking makes him like just like
moist panties. Yeah,
just no. He's fine.
I'm a comedian. Like every word makes me laugh. Yeah. He's like, cheese.
Yeah. And in Hawaii too, that's kind of like a thing to like, you know, instead of saying pussy, it's like, oh, panty, what's up? You know.
I told you it's better than saying vagina shorts.
Vagina shorts.
I've said it before.
Mm, yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shut up, Spanx.
That's so funny. But now you have how many TV shows do you have, Chris?
70.
I don't know how many checks I get.
I'm no Seacrest. I am no Seacrest.
Who could be? Who is?
No
who can
one.
Be? Nobody. There's nobody who just eating a bowl of money.
Ryan Seacrest sleeps in the fridge with Kuze.
He's in there. Him and Jay. Right? Just wearing
He keeps the skin tight.
That's what I'm telling you guys.
I'm just going to sleep in the
Seacrest could give us that seed money to start the LL Cool Jeans, like you said.
He really could.
We could totally start that up.
He could just empty his pockets, and you could pick up one of the diamonds that fell out and just hawk that.
Mama said, wear you out. Come on, guys. We could fucking write these all day.
I really want to get XXLLL Cool Jeans.
It's like a pun storm.
Pun storm. Check out my new bedtime line. Lady Love Cool Jammies.
The punfic storm.
Oh my god!
By the way, ladies do love cool jammies.
They do.
They do. Why wouldn't they? Jammies. Put them on. Fuzzy. Warm. Yeah. I don't know what ladies love. I wear sweatpants. I'm just like literally and all. I don't even think I own a pair of pajamas. I think you buy a pair of pajamas for when your parents come over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they don't have to imagine you having sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Like, what do we usually wear to bed? Nothing.
Yeah. Every time like my girlfriend gets like a free shirt that's like way too big, I'm like, sleeping shirt. She's like, I'm not in an 80s slumber party, Lizzie. I'm not gonna wear an oversized t-shirt.
Like come to bed frisky pillow in her hand.
Yeah, and then I put it on and it's way too tight.
Oh no. That's because she's a girl.
She's
a
tiny girl.
I'm not saying this because of your looks, but you and Deanna remind me of Milhouse's parents. And the reason being that you are the perfect counterparts to each other. Like if there was a female Jonah, you feel like you met her.
Yeah, I feel that she's amazing.
That's why it's so awesome to see you guys together. Like I see you guys together, I'm like, it's perfect. They're perfect.
And I'm constantly asking her to borrow a feeling.
Can I borrow
and then she asked if I want a jar of love.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing from that episode was I think her name was Darla or Starla, the woman who worked at the radio station. Yeah. And she had a cigarette in her mouth and she took a shot but just drank with the cigarette in her mouth and went tss. Well, we are at the end of our remember when that happened? Remember when that happened?
Remember when Homer said that thing? But I'm psyched to come on the show because I haven't listened to it for a long time.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I really have. Hey. I'm stoked because not that I've stolen anything from you guys, but I was definitely inspired by this show
very flattered and you know you're welcome to come back on anytime you want and please do a show at our space.
I would love to do that. It's perfect for you. I'm psyched. Yeah. Now I have to think of somebody awesome to bring though. You know what I mean? Like I feel like there's a lot of Jackie Cation just did her show.
Dork Forest.
She's a really good old friend of mine. So funny.
Yeah, Jackie's
great.
And
how did that go? Because I haven't talked to her since then. But
I heard it went
really
great. I was out of town when the show happened, but I heard it went great.
He's world traveled, and he's like, I was in Germany.
I was definitely not.
I
knew it.
I told you.
Germany. No, I was probably in fucking somewhere in the middle of Nebraska. Like it was not. It's not as romantic as Germany.
That was Dusseldorf.
Oh yes, Dusseldorf, Nebraska.
It's exactly the same.
Dusseldorf, Nebraska.
Strudel,
Dayton.
Strudel in despair. And do you? The last question I have for you on your own show
is because
you guys were talking about the fact that like working and like how does it affect your stand up? But now that you essentially do funny things all the time, like are you enjoying doing stand up? Like you're traveling a lot more. You're touring.
Oh, yeah.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, stand up's still my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like everything that I work on, there was always kind of this idea that everything I do, I just want it to help drive people to live shows. Like everything really kind of has to fall into that rain gutter of, and it has to make sense. Like, you know, the shows have to be of a certain point of view, right. And you know, just to
but make what's nice about podcasting for me is I feel like I get to make something that is mine completely, and it is the
exactly pure, why like, I started the show.
Yes, like that was I was like, and even people have offered now, like they offered before, but even now that they're hearing it, they're like, I'll come help you. I'm like, I just don't, not that I'm antisocial, which I am, but I just don't want. I just want this to be the thing that I made
exactly,
you know what I mean? And so that even if it's wrong, even if I fuck it up, they're my fuck ups, they're my errors, and when people listen to the show, it's purely me. At least one thing in my life that was the purest expression of who I am
but
as a comic.
What will happen, just for unsolicited advice,
bring it.
What will happen as your show gets more popular, and as it will, mm-hmm. You have to be careful.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, it will. Of course
it
will. Of course it will. If you're consistent
just
with it.
You
yeah.
Maybe.
And so, but what you have to get comfortable with is delegating tasks, because you'll naturally want to do everything, mm-hmm. but you'll start, a lot of your creative energy, you'll start getting sapped by having to do like the menial stuff.
Oh, the menial stuff. I mean,
having to edit and all that stuff that takes away from your creative energy.
I built my own website. Like, I really wanted to have a new one.
Yeah, like Chris can't be an asshole as much as he wants, so that's why he has me show up.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That's right.
I've delegated assholes.
Hey, Jonah, insult Matt.
Hey, piece of shit.
No, thank you. It was good. It was pure. It wasn't artistic, but I felt it. That was real. No, when I wanted to launch the site, I was interviewing all these companies to do a new website for me. When I was going to launch the podcast, I wanted to have it like be just a brand new experience for everybody, and the process was taking so long, like interviewing everybody, we're gonna write you a plan, and then in 6 weeks we can talk about it, then we can try it. I was like, I'm just gonna put up a page, so at least there's something new when people go to the podcast.
You just
and
put up the old Power Rangers page.
Yes, it's fucking on fire. There's gifts and there's twinkles and there's so
check,
rollovers and
check
frames.
It out at angelfire.com
pinkrangerrules.com what I ended up doing was building an entire new website.
Oh, wow.
To the head, and then one day I woke up. And that was great, because you know what? I was like, oh, you know what it's like? Oh, let me sit on the phone. Can you make that 5 points bigger? Can you make it 2 points smaller? Yeah. Can you make it a Vatican News?
Why did
can
you think this is what
light?
I was asking
can you make it
for?
Omega? Can you move it to the left? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you tell somebody exactly what you want. The other day, I was having somebody design a page for me for like at one of my socials, and I was like, can you please make this Helvetica or Helvetica Light? And they sent, I said, I want a sans serif font. I want it to match my website, and I would like it to be Helvetica or Helvetica Light. And they sent back a serif font, like they sent back courier.
Right,
I was like, am I not writing English right now?
It comes with all of everything.
It's the only one. That there's the other fonts and Helvetica. That's like, what are you?
There's one of four universal fonts.
How did you? So, why would you even put wingdings on
what's
the side?
Zap dings. So what was
that's
the whole
how
point?
I send coded emails. Wingdings.
Well, we made it
Euros
wide.
Like,
why would
out?
You make it Euros wide?
So then I go to the doctor the other day, because I wake up and my eye is killing me. Right eye. Like the movement of my eyeball in the socular joint, that's not a word, in the ocular socket, is killing. I'm like, I have a brain tumor. Like it hurt so bad it woke me up. Like I was dreaming, and then movement of my eye woke me up.
This is a cheery way of telling us about your brain
tumor.
I'm
dying. So,
oh my God.
I know it's the end of the podcast, but if we could just talk for a little while longer. Just talk
had your show
this,
built up
great.
If you had been alive.
When
just
I die,
Steve
it's
going to
be worth
$1 million.
Three episodes. Sell
seeing
that
the,
shit.
I see the light. I'm just
going to. Okay, I'm going to get off with this.
What was it?
What else? What else is going on? What else can I talk about before I go?
What else is going on?
So I go to the that's the worst thing to say on stage. So what else is going on?
Oh my God, what else is going on in the news would be a great last line to die on.
Right?
Oh, what else is going on in the news? Dead.
I know. Also, so where are you from? what do you do for a living? I'm your doctor.
Line of despair.
Yeah. Any birthdays in the audience? As you die. Any birthdays out there?
But I went to the doctor and I'm like, my eye's killing me. Even moving, even looking is killing me. And she did a bunch of tests. She's like, you sat at the computer for so long and you stared at it so hard that you sprained your eye.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I sprained my eyeball.
Oh, my God.
Did you even know that you could do that?
Yeah.
That is commitment to a font.
I sprained my fucking eyeball. Seriously. Wow. I was like, Helvetica 16, light. So anyway, point being, I built it all myself, and it was brutal, and I sprained my eyeball doing it.
Oh, my God.
But it was worth it in the beginning anyway, because now it's exactly what I want. Even if people hate it, it's mine.
Yep.
And then at least now going forward, if I have to give it to somebody else, I've established the thing of like, this is the thing. You know, people are writing and then people say, oh, I love this, or I hate this. And someone wrote in like, I don't really like this part of the show. And I was like, I need you to know that this, as many people love it as hate it, and you can fucking fast forward.
Or you don't have to listen. Like, I always tell people, like, when they get really angry.
When they get really angry about
stuff. When they get really angry about stuff, I'm like, this is free. No one, you don't have to listen to this.
Yeah.
Don't.
And this is the deal. I like mayonnaise on my sandwich. You don't have to have mayonnaise on your
it's
sandwich.
It's not, just don't put it on there.
Get out.
Jonah, are you okay?
Yeah. So anyway, really loves mayonnaise. But the point of this was just that listening to your show and just the kind of the pure, like, authentic nature of it really inspired me a lot to just make a show that was mine and not to be worried about, like, what do people like or what are they going to want or how should I do it and just do the show that I wanted to do.
Yeah, that is cool. That's really awesome because the right people will find you.
Yeah.
And then it's,
and hopefully,
that's great.
My mom will find me. Yeah. When she gets a computer and learns about the internet.
Well, when we started, it was just kind of like, it's like, you know, we'll just do this. We'll do the first couple and then we'll like have a talk about what we're going to do,
right.
what it's going to be. And we just never did. Yeah. And we just kept on doing
still
it.
Still haven't. Clearly
still haven't. We'll just do the Tom Lennon one and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Right.
And then that's all it's ever been. Just doing it.
Just do it.
Yeah. 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 You just got to do it. Everything, you know, as you do stuff, everything sort of has a natural evolution. Things fall into place. You figure right. things out. You just
Dynamics.
You can't even know until mm-hmm. you start doing stuff. You can't. There's so much you can't pre-plan. It's everything's going to change anyway.
Right, right. And in the end, if you're just doing what is interesting and exciting to you, there are people who love it, and there are people who won't like it. But again, it's free, so you're at least spending an hour every week. Or
it's
I don't
free.
Know. It's yeah, it's, and it's free. So you're spending that hour for you guys, 2 hours, you fucking apple polishers, doing the thing that you love. You know what I mean? And no one can stop you. And in this business, we're always begging for somebody to fucking give us something. And this is the only time you get to do something.
And I also feel like kind of being in that mind frame of feeling empowered. It has a residual effect on everything else that you do because you're naturally happier and you feel better about your life. Mm-hmm. And
residual
you don't
check. Podcast?
No. I'm sorry.
No. Excited.
No. You just got a massive pay raise. The fuck? Go eat shit. You just got two pay raises, you shit stick.
Come on. I like doubling my money everywhere.
I smell money. Yeah. I would like say hi to him like way across the room, you know. Yeah. Just
how do you know you're so tall?
Okay, wait. So we're recording again. Here's what happened. This has never happened before. We got so into the
Aisha
conversation.
Is such a babbling idiot.
No. It was like I completely lost track of time because I was enjoying the primitive cave person system that they have here at the studio.
It is.
They're on. You record everything onto compact disc.
What year is it?
I don't even know. Clearly, it's 1714.
Yeah, then we put it into a long box.
Yes.
They used to call the boxes that the CDs came in.
I can tell you, it's rare that Chris and I don't exchange a look of him checking the clock and me looking at him.
Ah.
This was all designed by...
I allowed you not one moment of respite.
Every time, what?
Might as well be doing this on the Gutenberg press.
I record my show, speaking of freestand, onto my iPad. I record to my.
Whoa.
That's ballsy.
Yeah, I'm triple redundant. So I have my main systems through my iPad. Then I also have a secondary, like a unilateral mic that I would go to my iPhone. And then I also use voice memos on my iTouch. So I have.
So you have the three stable devices.
Yeah.
Because I don't work at that
place.
You
another digital
to
recorder.
To me, I'm like, this is a magical device that can never fail.
Well, the CDs only record for 80 minutes. And we talked for, like, right at 79:59, it just stopped. So that was the abrupt stop. So I put another disc in just so we could...
So we could say goodbye.
And say that you have earned a very special place on the podcast.
I had no idea we could easily get around recording on CDs.
It was super fun. But honestly, like, my point of saying I record to my iPad, and so far it has not failed me. The first day, I had some peaking issues with this app I'm using.
Is that like a Chinese issue?
Yep, yes. Peaking.
So the dumplings did not turn out the way that I had hoped.
Pun storm!
Pun storm!
We're going to have to get, like, bandanas like they do in the desert.
Yeah. It's
like,
it truly was the punfix storm.
Punishment time.
It's a pun pour. That wasn't as good as the previous three. But what I was going to say was if I can record a solid state memory and I'm a person who used her credit card to purchase her recording setup, why does EE not just buy a... I mean, solid state storage is so cheap.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is.
Chris is just reflecting.
I'm just looking. Well, because we're building a studio at Meltdown,
mm-hmm.
So the room has been soundproofed. We've gotten the mics in.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna
for the air conditioning.
The air conditioning works in that room.
Bam!
I'm putting the studio computer in pretty soon, and then we'll actually have. I have to
order
a table.
And will you just record to your computer? Mm-hmm.
We'll record it onto the iMac. Yeah, there's a studio iMac.
Which will then back up.
It's going to be great.
We could start taking calls.
How could you take calls? That would mean you'd have to be doing it at the same time every week.
No, we'll do the pre-tape call-in show like I missed your show.
Yeah.
No!
That was for yesterday's show. We're talking about pet care today. Yesterday was about refinance.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, my thing records, it makes AIFF files. I cut in Final Cut. So, like, it's the native format. And then I just output and I transcode it in iTunes. And it's so easy. And literally, memory is like a dollar. It's so cheap.
Yeah, my girlfriend just bought a terabyte drive, and it's tiny. It's the size of a wallet.
Like, it's so minuscule. Yeah. Do you remember that, like, a year ago? Like, I have a TB drive from a year ago, and it's a giant brick. And then I have a TB drive from this year, and I can put it in my back pocket.
Yeah, she has a 500 gigabyte drive, and it's just like the fucking size of what?
You said megabyte.
It's not sexual. It's not sexual.
Instead of gigabyte, he's just giving
it. Yeah, then I corrected myself with gigabyte.
He's mocking you. Yeah. I have a 1 megabyte drive.
Yeah, my last computer had punch cards, and it would only recognize positive and negative values.
Apu's life work, the tic-tac-toe game.
Welcome back, Dr. Falcon.
Hello, Joshua.
What do you like to play a game? Did you have the one where you had to cycle your floppies that you could save. That was my favorite thing in college when you were trying to like save your paper. It was like take out the software that you were writing in so you can save the document, then take that one out, then put the Word disk
two
back
megs.
In, then write.
Two megs.
Yeah. Oh my God. And that was huge. My friend had a 1 gig Mac and I was like, she's rich.
Yeah.
I used to those 5-inch floppies and the little sleeves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Put those in.
Yeah, no, those had my Ghostbusters game for my Commodore 64.
Oh shit.
Oh, these are good times.
I had a calculator once.
My father has a calculator watch that he's had for 20 years, still wears it. Oh my God, you and him should hang out. That's fucking great.
Because I'm wearing my calculator watch.
Oh my God. For when you ever need to make calculations.
You guys have literally that in common.
Huh? Michael Yo's assistant? Huh? Ladies love calculator watches.
Or was it Steven Singles? He's all, I could put 42 numbers in this thing, and I'm going to fill it up tonight. Which was, I think they were at an Alice in Chains show or something like that.
Other than that, he was ably backed by Stone Gossard and Eddie
A compliment for you, or a compliment for us.
Is a compliment for you. This just makes me stronger, man. Yeah.
Tonight, we rock. Where were they going? Portland? Or,
I don't remember where they were going. It was a suburb.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about that movie, but that it made me go buy Alice in Chains. And that, like, I don't, you know, that's all I remember. So
I constantly listen to those two songs by Westerberg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Dyslexic Heart?
Dyslexic Heart. And the other one.
Singles holds up, I think. It's very dated, but the comedy holds up.
Except for the fact that Bridget Fonda's in it, and she's the worst actress in the entire world.
No, Keira Sedgwick is way worse than Bridget Fonda in that movie.
I gotta go look at it again. I think before I saw that movie, I saw the Nikita version with Bridget Fonda, and I want to blow my face off, blow it up, and then send the pieces.
But it's like you watch it.
Boy, I wanted to put things in her.
Yeah. Well, why?
You watch
it
now, and it's almost like a
bad actresses
art film.
Probably fuck well too.
Yeah, probably better.
The best.
Yeah. They try harder. Get the jobs. She's going to write me a letter.
That's a shirt we should.
I'm
make.
Having an orgasm now. No, you're not.
I don't believe you.
What's your motivation?
It wasn't grounded. No. It wasn't interior at all. It was completely indicated. I mean, that was the most indicated orgasm I've ever seen. I saw it coming a mile away.
Here's a book by Uta Hagen. Then come back and come on me.
And then float a bottle cap on it, damn it.
We insulted actors and porn stars.
And Jim
and
Cook.
And Uta Hagen and semen.
But it's sweet. No. That is
the second disc is about done.
Yeah, let's do this. Like, goodbye. We're about to say goodbye.
We are in day 2 of the Aisha Tyler podcast.
Why are we still talking?
Day 15. Okay. Aisha now talking about the rope. Just the Northwest.
If someone could just bring me water.
I need some water.
I just need water. Yeah. I just want my family to know whenever this gets posted.
Little piece of skin flapping off the lip.
Rift on each Game Boy game for 15 minutes.
Aisha sprained her eye again.
Yeah.
Would you like to throw out the ceremonial end of the show? Enjoy your
I will. I can't decide how I want to do it. A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Shall I be ethnic?
As ethnic as possible.
Oh God, no.
Possible.
Oh no.
Don't be ethnic.
You don't want to alienate any of the demo.
demo. They're probably so excited there's a black person, they can't stand it.
Hey, you're our second one. Okay?
I know. You had Black Dynamite, you got them all.
Oh, and we had right. Donald Glover, too.
Ooh,
Donald
all
Glover,
the black yeah, people yeah. at one time.
Yep.
Yeah. All the black people.
We've had like eight blackers on this show.
I prefer the term blurred. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your motherfucking burrito!
Yeah. I love it! Oh, that's great!
Text message tone.
It was ethnic and Rocky.
That's yeah. not. Those are mutually exclusive.
That was super fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMeeting, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, promo code Nerdist.